welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. I don't know about you, but this last week I've been paying really close attention, not deliberately, but it just seems to be happening, to ordinary things around me living in the United States, which has known unprecedented safety and pleasure and security and ease for, lo, what, 246 years. Oh, we've had intimations of the ugliness that has beset the world for centuries, forever really, ever since human beings have existed. But this country has had the luxury of worrying about how offense is given and pronouns and how much money should be given for streaming services to actors and writers. Not to say that these aren't real things, but they certainly pale in comparison to the kinds of things that can happen to human beings. I was at the farmer's market on 3rd and Fairfax the other day at a little cafe, kind of a deli that's in the market there, sitting at this counter and ordering my ham and eggs or whatever it is I ordered. And I was looking at the different people, mostly tourists, because that's what you get there generally, sitting also at the counter ordering their various meals. The guy next to me with his girlfriend was in his man bun, wearing a red leather jacket and very casually moving around, getting his cup of coffee at the coffee corner and then coming back to sit with his girlfriend. And then I noticed two people, a very elderly man and a woman next to him who clearly was a caregiver, and they were ordering their food. Well, actually, she was ordering for him. And she was very definitive about what she wanted for her meal and was constantly interrupting the counter guy to get various things that she had not been satisfied to receive yet. And the two of them, the old man and this woman, never said a word to each other. It was as if he wasn't there for her. Ordinary life, as ordinary as it gets, it's always this way, right? It's always this way. And then I thought about the video of the rave that was occurring in Israel, a bunch of young people gyrating and happy and listening to discs. They were playing discs, I think, like in the old days, the DJs, in the middle of the desert, not far from the Gaza Strip. And the one girl that you see at the very beginning of the video is wearing, I think she's wearing all black, but she's wearing a kind of a bra-like top, and her midriff is bare, and she is really, really enjoying her movements and completely oblivious to the kinds of changes that happen in life. Just like me and my cohorts at the counter were, well, I wasn't at that moment, but usually I'm oblivious to the things that could happen around me, the changes that could occur. And then in the next moment, she and everybody else at that happy gathering are running for their lives because other human beings, ordinary people just like them, have decided that they have the right to maul and murder for a cause. When has that happened before? All the time. In some ways, human beings are worse than natural disasters like earthquakes, because in some ways they're more deliberate and unrelenting and cruel than natural disaster, because unlike nature, they know exactly what they're doing. And of course, what came to my mind, not just that day at the counter, but has been on my mind since that day in the counter, and since all the events have unfolded since last Saturday, October the 7th, 10:07, was Matthew 24, beginning around verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days, before the flood, They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. And here we are from the days of Noah and before, and still we are not prepared. Jew and Gentile alike, non-believers. Even now, right now, here in the United States, people are acting as if what's happening over there has nothing to do with us. And it has everything to do with us and whether or not we are prepared to face our Maker. And how can we be so blind? Because we get immediate images of the kinds of things that destroy other human beings and thus can destroy ourselves. So, for example, although years ago you might read it in a newspaper several days or a week later, or see it on your evening news with Walter Cronkite in black and white, now if something happens, there's an immediacy of the event almost contemporaneous with the event itself. And so we can immediately see the bloody bed with bodies, corpses strewn upon it, full of blood, gooey red blood, babies decapitated. We can see that. And still, we do not prepare ourselves, our souls. We continue to act as if this is the only place and our personal well-being is the only thing, as if we will survive, as if death will never come to us. Then, of course, there are the enormous inconsistencies in how these things are told to us. While here in the United States, we throw around words like racist and Nazi against people who disagree with us, we cannot, for some reason, even actually say those words like terrorist when it comes to somebody who hacks a child. We couldn't do it when it was hidden from us, when the actual Nazis hid those things from us because they knew what they did was wrong. But now we see it live on our telephones, and still we cannot say that this is pure evil. We keep hearing about the wrongs of the past as if we are better than the wrongs of the past, but we're just as bad. We're worse now than we were then, because we ought to know better. I guess in a strange way, I found myself a little ashamed this week of living my life as normal. I go to physical therapy because I've got osteoarthritis. And you go into this lovely, well-kept athletic studio with Pilates machines, and everybody is just so content and happy to be doing their ordinary things. And I'm thinking to myself, how can I continue to do this when I know what's happening in a place so far away? But a place that I remember being, a place that I stood. I remember one of the guides, who was Israeli himself, saying one day when a jet, whatever the jet was passing so low over us, and it was so loud, and it felt so dangerous. And what did he say? He said, if you can hear it, it's not a danger to you. And I realized at that moment that I won't know when my end is coming. And it'll happen probably, unless in sickness, so fast that I really won't be prepared. I won't be thinking about it. So now I must think about it before I have no time anymore. Both New Agey and religious folks are currently doing lots of YouTube videos about the end times and all the signs and symbols that suggest that we are at the end times. Because our end times can come at any moment. From moment to moment, we're literally held in God's hand. Our breath, our walking, our talking, all of it is in God's hands. And whether this is the earthly end times, we need to be prepared. And as Catholics, that preparation is given a great deal of help in terms of the sacraments, in terms of a daily conversion, of a daily emptying of oneself. I think, and it's hard for me as well, of course, to do this, to be aware of one's faith and to practice one's faith is a way to cut through all of the I guess the Yiddish word is mishigas around us, the serious mishigas, the evil that surrounds us. In fear, grab onto Jesus's tassel as the woman who had hemorrhages did. Go through the crowd, go through the mess, go through it all in order to grab onto him and hold him as he walks forward. I think I said this in another program or somewhere or to someone that all of this horribleness, this disgusting evil that we are seeing on our tablets, that has had an odd effect on me and maybe on you too, that proves to me, if not the existence of God, the need for God, the tangible need for God to rescue us, as he already did, but asks for our cooperation, to grab on to him and say, yes, I'm going to follow you no matter what's going on around me. That has sort of come into a particular relief for me in a way this last week. Will it hold? I don't know. I'm a creature of vagaries myself, but whatever's going on out there, it's coming in our direction. And this is the time. This is the last opportunity for any of us to turn to him, to stand under God's standard or the devil's. As I was recording, I heard a jet going over my apartment building, and it didn't sound like your ordinary airline. It sounded like a fighter jet. No doubt today, when there was a threat by Hamas to do things over the world, so far that doesn't seem to have happened, and my guess is they're not going to announce that they're going to do that kind of thing. They're just going to do it in stealth and in deception. But it was a reminder, it is a reminder of just how quick life can end. Dear fellow Catholics, are you ready? All my efforts to practice my faith, I'm pretty sure that I'm not ready. So, time to get busy. And if you're not a Catholic, if you're not anything, it's time to make a decision. Are you for or against God? You say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, think about whether or not that's a relevant response. And if you feel, well, I can't believe in God. Look at what those people who believe in God are doing. Yeah, well, the question is, really, do they believe in God? They call it God, but really, it's them. They're their own gods. Just as we all do in greater and lesser ways, we distort words. We turn things into a way that's favorable to ourselves and our vices. When Jesus was crucified, they put a sign up, but they were mocking. They said, King of the Jews. They were mocking him. They were mocking him. And yet, here's the reality. He was and is the King of the Jews. He is the King of all of us. So we twist the language, but the truth emits itself no matter what we say or do. And we are responsible for the distortions that we create. These are not ordinary times. Probably there never have been really any ordinary times. Today, as I'm recording, it is the 13th of October, Do you know what happened on the 13th of October in 1917? I almost forgot as I was thinking about this program. That was the day of the last appearance of the Virgin Mary to three children, shepherd children, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco in Fatima, Portugal. She appeared at a time that was decidedly atheistic, in which there had been persecution of religious people. She made warnings about the fate of the world if it did not turn to God. She advocated for the saying of the rosary and for sacrifices, for the reparation of sin and the salvation of souls. Do you laugh at this? Would you laugh at this? Do you think, whether you believe or not, that this is not something good? You don't prefer the evils of the world, do you? And just making merry until they reach you? Well, anyway, that last day of October 13th, 1917, was what they called the miracle of the sun. There was something like, I don't know, 70,000 people, both people who were believers and those who did not believe, or those, let's say, who distorted belief. And they came during the rain, and the sudden thing happened to the sun. It started to look like it was coming at them. It started to spin. It was able to be looked at with the naked eye, which is something you cannot normally do. And when it all ended, and people thought it was the end of the world who were there, the whole terrain was dry, and so were the people who had been caught in the rain. We just keep getting warned over and over. And as I said, it doesn't really matter. It shouldn't matter in terms of our spiritual life whether the world is ending now or tomorrow or 10 years from now or a century from now. Our own lives are going to end. We always have a choice, yes or no to God. The people who claim to be religious, who do the kinds of murderings, unmitigated, wanton murder, there is no justification, and they can call themselves religious until the cows come home, and they're not. This is not God's will that they maraud and murder. It is not God's will that we decide against him, that we laugh at him, that we put up signs joking about his divinity, or simply saying there is no such thing as divinity. His will is that we return his total love of us, that we love him a tenth, a less than a tenth, as much as he loves us. There's a secondary thing that we have to do in light of what's happening across the world, and that is not to hate. It's very hard not to hate given what we have seen. I don't know about you, but I get even angrier when I see evil laughing about its evil. This week, I seem to have been more aware of the good things in my life, which normally I don't want to say I don't care about or I'm not aware of, but I do take for granted the butterfly that I saw flying around in front of my building, meandering from flower to flower and almost coming up to me. The little old dog that I was looking at out my window, clearly very elderly and basking in the sun and enjoying the moment in the most simple and reflexive way. All this could end in a moment. So go to Mass, go to confession, receive communion if you're a Catholic. And if you're not, I invite you to become a Catholic because in that you'll have a framework for prayer, for constant communication with our Lord, to fortify yourself against the evil of the world so that ultimately it does not take over your own soul. And so you can be forever with our Lord in heaven and pray for all of those who you also want to be with us all in heaven. You want that for everyone. God wants it for everyone. He expects us to want it for them as well. You say, even for those despicable people who murder babies? Yeah, even for them. That's harder. I know. I've got a long way to go. But every person God would love to be with him, it's entirely my choice, their choice, your choice as to whether or not that will in fact happen. And now is the time to make that choice. And so ends another ordinary old Catholic me on a really, 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 really bad time for us all. Pray, 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 pray. I'll talk to you next week.